Hello, friends, and welcome to Ghost to Show You, Bonus Ghost. I'm Emily, and on this episode, I talk to my friend, comedian Kenny DeForest, about growing up in the haunted Ozarks, religion, psychedelics, and an aggressive but tidy bar ghost. Please enjoy.
Much of this past couple of years is me realizing I don't know enough about this. Why am I sounding off?
Yeah, no, I think a lot more people should refrain from sounding off on things that they don't know about.
Yeah.
Except for me.
Yeah. Shut up so I can talk.
So we're here on another bonus ghost episode of Ghost to Show You with my new friend Kenny DeForest.
Hello.
Lillian is not here because she's not.
Yeah, she was abducted by a ghost, actually.
Yeah.
So the show just got real.
Yeah, we're going to try to find her over the course of the episode. Welcome to the show.
Thank you
for having me in your gorgeous home.
Thank you for coming with your equipment and having me on your gorgeous show.
My pleasure. I notice you have a lot of crystals and stuff here, some like mystic stuff, so.
We're into it.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of psychedelic drugs, I guess is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
That's how you end up there. You just go, okay.
Yeah.
There's energies. I've felt them.
Sure.
Yeah.
First, tell me a little bit about yourself and just generally what your feelings are on the paranormal and ghosts and stuff.
Well, I grew up in the Ozarks, Southwest Missouri. Springfield is the name of the city. And it's like the Bible Belt, you know? So it's like the buckle of the Bible Belt. Like religion is a big thing down there.
Sure.
So I was raised Catholic, but also had really strong Assemblies of God evangelical influences around me.
Mm.
And went to like AG summer camps and stuff like that, you know, where you're like...
What's AG?
Assemblies of God.
Oh, I don't know what Assemblies of God is.
They're evangelical. You know, the whole thing is about converting more people to your religion.
Sure.
And the more you convert, the better your heaven is that you go to when you die. There's like different layers of heaven.
I didn't know that.
Isn't that wild?
Wow.
So it's like very... Like
it's like the more magazines you sell, the better prizes you're going to get.
100% that. Yes, yes. Except for with the afterlife.
Yeah.
So, and it's just like, you know, really, I would go to these summer camps and I thought I was just going for like the adventures in the woods. And then you get there and it's like, turn your life over to Christ. And it was just like very intense.
And now let's have an adventure in the woods.
Yeah, yeah. And now a game of tag. And I'm just like crying and soiling myself. Yeah. So I feel like that, I do feel like the, a lot of people that leave religion, especially if they had like an intense version or because I really bought in when I was a kid, like yeah. I was so afraid of hell. Like I have like OCD now because of it.
Fuck.
Because you get so used to scanning your life for mistakes. You're just like, okay, what did I do? Will I go to hell for that? Will I go to hell for that? You know, like that sort of crazy mindset.
Fuck.
And I do think if you can leave religion all you want, but you're still a religiously wired person. So you're just going to get really into other shit.
Uh-huh.
And so I think for me, it was like, yeah, then when I stopped believing in organized religion, as it were, but then I it made me one of those people that eats mushrooms and goes, this is God,
uh-huh.
You know, because some people eat mushrooms, they're like, oh, that was fun, but I'm one of those people that's like, this is the new important thing.
Right.
And so I think I'm wired to really be into this stuff.
Yeah.
And I've always been really sensitive to energies, you know. I've been told I'm an empath
by
multiple people.
I'm constantly telling my husband that I'm an empath and he doesn't believe me. So
like, maybe you're an empath.
He's just like, no, you're not. You're just empathetic and that's not the same thing. And I'm like, no, I can feel your energy right now. You're mad.
That's really funny. I can feel that you're angry and don't believe me.
Yeah.
I just told you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like that, I guess. And I'm just very,
how does that manifest for you, you being an empath? Like, what is it about you that makes people say that or makes you think that?
I've just always, like, I'm very sensitive to vibes. Like, if it's, I was that guy, there was a couple times in college that I remember where we were in a bar and I'd be like, hey, we should get out of here. And my friend would be like, why? I'd be like, there's about to be a fight. And then we'd be leaving and there'd be a fight.
Shit.
I could just, like, feel it coming or whatever. Or just, I don't know. I'm really, I guess, kind of tuned into people's energies.
I mean, I feel the same way usually. Just, I can just tell when people are like in a bad mood and it's just oozing out of them. And I'm like, I just can't be around. This is too stressful for me to, yeah, be near you. Or if you just like zero in on one person who's clearly having a bad time in a group, you're just like, oh.
100%. Yeah. I'm like, I always throw myself at the foot of the altar and I'm like, what can I do to help everyone?
Back at the altar. You can take the God out of the boy.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So yeah, I think that is a lot. And then also, you know, I had like my cousin died when we were 15 and we were close, and it's like leukemia, and then the chemo killed him. It was like a very, very accelerated process. It's like, what's cancer? My cousin has it. That's weird.
Right.
Oh, he's going to live? Cool. Oh, he's dead. Wow. Fuck. So I think too, when you lose people to not old age, you really start to like hope that there is a next life.
Hmm.
We're like, well, I'd sure like to see him again.
Yeah.
In some capacity. Mm-hmm. And so I think I've also always maybe wanted to believe in more. I wanted to believe that this isn't it.
Yeah.
Because that's really depressing to me. Some people find freedom in thinking that this is it. And when you die, it all goes black. But that scares me more than anything.
No, that is scary to me. I don't really know what I hope for. I mean, I think I'm hoping for reincarnation.
Okay.
And
back on this planet, you mean?
I guess so. Or another one. But my therapist once told me she believes that people are reincarnated, and that oftentimes the people that you know in this life are people that you did know in a previous life. And over the course of many lifetimes, you know, you can grow closer to you know, the same like soul or something like that, which I think is kind of beautiful and poetic. But she brought it up to me because I had a friend that we had sort of a falling out or whatever, and she was like, well, you know, they say that in past lives you've already known these people from another life, but sometimes, you know, it's finite, sometimes you're meant to only like be together. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess we probably had like a bunch of good lives in the past, and now, you know, this is the last one where we're gonna hang out.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that was her way of justifying me feeling bad about losing a friend.
It's like, it's okay, you had a good past life.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
her.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's like, wait, should you be my therapist? I don't know. This isn't.
I found it comforting.
Oh yeah, no, and I do believe in, you know, like there's all those. It's weird when you hear supernatural stuff in like a peer-reviewed publication, when it's not just like the fringe internet, and you're like, wait, I'm sorry, is this the New York Times? But like, I don't remember what publication it was, but there was that thing about where they found like their children up to 3 will have memories of past lives and then they go away.
Yes. Yeah. I think I have heard about that.
And I was like, it was one of those things where I was like, oh wait, this is CNN? Yeah. You know, like, whoa, right. Okay. It's kind of like when you saw in the New York Times, like, the Navy confirms that they've seen aliens.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm sorry. What is this that we're reading?
So, before the story that you are going to tell me, had you had any other supernatural experiences that you can think of?
I don't know, because I got sleep paralysis a lot as a kid.
Yeah, we've talked to a couple people who have, I think, or at least one person who has had sleep paralysis. But
so it's like, I could tell you that I was 10 and a ghost was sitting on my chest, but that's also just what sleep paralysis feels like. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom was convinced that the house that we grew up in was haunted. And like, it would make sense because it was on the land that our house was on, was known as the Kickapoo Prairie, obviously for the Kickapoo Native peoples that would have been removed from that area by means that are not fantastic.
Mm.
And so I would imagine there's a lot of unfinished business in that plain.
The Trail of Smiles is what it's called.
Yeah,
right?
Right. The Trail of Light Hearts. Truly. My high school was like 98% white. And we were the Kickapoo Chiefs.
Oof.
So, you know, just really inviting hauntings.
Yeah. Yeah. There's probably a curse on all of you.
Yeah. So there was I was terrified of ghosts when I was a kid. Like, my parents had to make me stop watching Unsolved Mysteries because would just have vivid, horrific nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we had cats. And so they would, you know, I'd be scared and I'd be like, and then I would just hear like,
right.
You know, what's happening?
Did your mom experience anything haunted in the house?
I should ask her for example, because she's an insomniac too, so she would be up at odd hours by herself, so who knows?
Later, Kenny did ask her, and here's what she said.
I was going through menopause, so I was hot. So I was trying to keep it all cool down.
And just to make sure I caught the beginning of the story, this is the clay house. You woke up in the middle of the night.
Yes, I went downstairs.
Okay, got you. And you're having a hot flash, so you throw your leg over.
So I wanted to cool down.
Yeah.
But so I threw my right leg over the back of the couch, so myself wasn't touching each other. And I kind of started falling asleep, and next thing I know, something slapped my right leg that was over the back of the couch.
Whoa.
And it woke me up. I said, wow. I said, okay, who's here?
Yeah.
But, I mean, my skin stung.
You felt it.
Oh, yeah. It woke me up. Stuff happens, you know, and it's like, I believe in it.
I guess it just goes to show you that the only thing scarier than menopause is a ghost slapping you in the leg. Now back to Kenny. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was some weird electronic stuff, which I know is pretty common among ghost people, that's how they try to communicate. I want to say like a stereo came on one night or something like that.
Mm. I did a thing to myself like a month ago. I forget if I already talked about this on the podcast, but I have like a little Bluetooth speaker in the bathroom. And so I was like listening to music or whatever when I was brushing my teeth and going to bed, and I was home alone. And then I went into my bedroom and I was like scrolling, and all of a sudden I heard this really loud noise in the bathroom. And I was so fucking scared. And I called my husband and I was like, something just yelled in the bathroom. And then I realized I had forgotten to disconnect the Bluetooth speaker from my phone. And that's why I heard a loud noise, because, you know, some video popped up. But
oh, man. It just reminded me of a funny story just real quick. A friend was telling me that his buddy, who I've met, they were all at a party one time, and this guy was hosting the party. And he was like, all right, I'm going to go to bed. You guys keep partying, whatever. And his phone was playing the music. Mm-hmm. And he went downstairs to go to bed and forgot that he was connected to the Bluetooth speaker and started watching porn by himself. Which is super fun.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I love them. Name names. Who was it? No, the Bluetooth speaker every time.
It'll get you.
Okay. So let's hear your story.
Yeah. So I'll give you, I'm going to tell you about a specific story that happened to me and then a place.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Sure.
Another thing too, where I grew up. So it's real close to Joplin, Missouri. It's like Joplin, Missouri is an hour west of where I grew up. And Joplin, Missouri is famously home to the ghost light, where there is a green light that looks like a lantern swinging, and it goes up and down the same road at the same time every night.
Wow. Have you seen this ghost
light? I need to go. I have not gone myself, but I have many close friends that have seen it themselves.
Yeah.
Confirm that it is real. Scientists have come out and studied it. The official explanation is that it's swamp gas.
I think I have heard something about this, maybe.
Yeah, the Joplin ghost light. I was also, honestly, I moved out of my hometown right after college, and when I was young, I was too much of a scaredy cat to go see things like that. I was already having a hard time sleeping. It's the last thing I needed was to see a green light floating down the road.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff in the Ozarks that's supposedly haunted. There's like a Eureka Springs, Arkansas is very witchy. Literally, I mean, it's where a lot of Wiccans go and practice, and you'll find like, you know, pentagrams in the woods and stuff like that from people practicing shit out there. And there's a haunted hotel there that is like famous. So like the whole area, I grew up all these stories around. But the story that happened to me, also Stull, Kansas is one you should look up. And that's even maybe 2 hours west of Springfield. And I know some people that went there, and supposedly there's like this burned down church that it does exist. People have seen that. And supposedly it is one of the seven gates of hell. Allegedly the Pope won't fly over Stull, Kansas. So there's all this stuff surrounding that whole area. But back to the house that I grew up in. This is where this took place. The one that my mom was convinced was haunted. So they went out of town. I was in college. I went to college in my hometown, but I lived on campus. But my parents, when they went out of town, they were like, hey, can you watch the cats while we're gone? Feed them and all that stuff. I was like, of course. So one night, my college roommates and I, there was three of us and then one of my roommates' girlfriends, so four total. We were like, let's just go to my folks' house, get off campus for a night, just go enjoy their house, and it's nicer than this campus housing. Mm-hmm. Go enjoy ourselves. So we went down there, and we had like a really chill night. I think we maybe had a beer each. Like, it wasn't a drunken night.
Yeah.
I think we literally bought a six pack and four people split it. So yeah. No one's drunk.
Very mellow.
Very mellow. And I remember the last thing we did was we were watching Blazing Saddles, right? So we had it on. We're all laying out on this pullout couch, right? So I pulled it out so everyone could lay down and watch the movie. Then my one roommate and his girlfriend left to go stay at her apartment, which was maybe 2 minutes from my parents' house. So that leaves me and my friend Steven. and Steven falls asleep during Blazing Saddles. This is all important. So Steven is asleep. Joe and Angela have left. So it's now just me and Steven. Steven's asleep. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed. So I go upstairs, turn the movie off, all that, go upstairs, fall asleep, and I wake up, and the first thought I had was, oh, blueberry muffins. Like, I just knew the smell. I woke up and I smelled it very clear as day. Blueberry muffins are being made in that kitchen. And I was like, that's weird. But Angela, my buddy's girlfriend, she's a very homemaker type. Like, she really gets off on that stuff. Like, she wanted to be Martha Stewart. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So this all fit her profile.
Right. You were like, she's making muffins.
She came over. She's making us muffins. Great. So I go out to greet her and be like, how'd you get in the house? Second of all, thank you. So I go walking into the kitchen, and the first thing I see is a glass Corona bottle from the night before spinning on the floor in a counterclockwise pattern. And or maybe
that's
it was no clockwise.
That's the devil's direction.
For the purposes of this story, it's the devil's direction. Yeah. So I see that, and I'm like, whoa, it's weird. Again, we have cats, so I'm like, maybe. But then also, it was a hard tile floor and a countertop that's probably at least 3 or 4 feet off the ground, so glass would... I would think shatter if it fell from the counter to the floor.
Yeah, and I can't imagine it would just start spinning.
Start spinning.
If it just dropped.
Yes. So I was like, this is weird. And I look over at the oven. So there's the oven, and then obviously the range is on top, right? We had had a frozen pizza the night before. One of the oven ranges, or stovetop ranges, is now on high. So like the coils are bright red. Mm. And the corner of the pizza box is catching fire.
Oh, shit.
But what's so crazy is we had the pizza the night before, and it's not like I left the stovetop on, because if I had left it on in this position, it would have burned up the night before. Like, I would have woke up to the house burning down.
Right. So it was like as if somebody had just turned it on, or, you know, not too long ago.
Yeah. And then also either shoved the pizza, because one of two things happened. I left the stovetop on. And it was fine all night, and then something slid the pizza box over into the range, and then I somehow smelled something that woke me up in time to stop it.
That smelled like blueberries.
It smelled like blueberry muffins, like, so specifically. Like, any coffee shop you go to that sells those, you're like, oh yeah, blueberry muffins are sold here. And, or I left the pizza box hanging over the range, and something turned it on. Like, a cat can't push a knob in and turn it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where you have to turn it, goes, and then it lights up. So I was freaked out. I was like, whoa. So I push the pizza box back, like, pat it out, pick up the bottle, and I'm freaked out. And I go downstairs. My buddy Steven is still asleep in the exact same position I left him. Mm-hmm. Just, like, hadn't moved a muscle. But the fireplace at the foot of the bed is now on. And I'm like, now it is one of those gas fireplaces. My parents had a little remote. So it's possible he grabbed it and thought he was turning off the TV and accidentally turned on the fire and then went back
to
sleep.
Did you ask him about it?
He's like, I have no idea. I did not turn that fire on.
Yeah.
So
he didn't say, like, I did turn the movie off or anything like that?
No. Like, he does not think he's what did that. So that's, you know, cool. So then I'm really freaked out, because obviously, as anyone who has watched The Sixth Sense knows, ghosts like to turn on the heat. They're cold. They're very cold. Because it gets cold.
I forgot that about The Sixth Sense. I just thought they like following around little boys.
Right? All right. So then the last little detail of the story that kind of is the chilly part is... So I wake Steven up. I'm asking him, did you turn the fire on? He's like, no. I was like, did you wake up at all in the night? He was like, no, I've been sleeping here since the movie was on. I was like, okay. So now I'm significantly freaked out. I mean, the doorbell rings. I go upstairs, it's Joe and Angela. I open the door, and I'm not shitting you. They step in the house and go, oh, who made blueberry muffins? So I was like, okay, I'm not the only one that smells it. This is what is happening. So, I mean, that's the story. I don't know. It's obviously just a bunch of details strung together, but none of it makes sense.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about a lot of ghost stories that I've heard is that it's a bunch of little things that you sort of reason away. And then sometimes there's like one thing that's undeniable that happens, but it'll be like, you know, I put something down here and then it kept being moved.
Yeah, it was weird. And then that whole week, like going to check on the cats, I was just hair on the back of my neck. Fully up the whole time. Another wild one, and this, I can make this one quick, but my fiance and I, when we were first like falling in love, we did mushrooms together in New Orleans.
Oh, the most haunted city ever.
Well, that's the other thing. Because I just did comedy down there, and that was like one of my little local jokes. But I was like, it's funny that there's people that straight up don't believe in ghosts, but then you're calling an entire city a liar.
I mean, literally, I went to New Orleans one time and my friend left a key out for me, and then I let myself into his house, and he came home an hour later and he was like, oh, did you see anything? Because it's haunted in here. I've woken up with a woman three times, like standing over me in my sleep. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm going to stay somewhere else. And speaking, I mean, of which, I slept one night there, and then the next night me and my friend stayed at a hotel, and I Googled it, or she booked the hotel, and then I Googled it, and it was like one of the most haunted places. And I'm like, you can't fucking escape these ghosts.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so we did mushrooms in New Orleans, and it got wild. Like, New Orleans at night is way different than New Orleans during the day. When the sun went down, we were like, okay. And long story short, we went back to the hotel. We were kind of, you know, we were fooling around. And then the next day she was like, did you feel someone in the room with us? And I was like, ugh! Like, my heart stopped, because I did. Like, I thought I heard the door open and felt someone watching us make out. Ooh. But I didn't say anything because we're a new couple. Like, we were like falling in. I didn't want to freak her
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just like, go with it. It's cool. And then yikes. I didn't say shit about it. I just kept it to myself. And then the next day she's like, did you feel? I was like, yeah, I did feel that.
Ugh.
It was real scary.
Dang. Where did you stay? Where were you?
The Omni Royal in the French Quarter.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it seemed like it's like an old building. You know, it's,
I mean, I truly think like every single place in New Orleans is haunted.
Yeah, the whole city is crazy. And then there's this bar I used to hang out at in college. I was going to tell you about when I said there's a place I'll tell mm-hmm. you about. Like I said, where I grew up, Ozark's like very... I grew up in what is essentially a suburb that's not attached to a bigger city, but it mm-hmm. feels like a suburb. But then everything around it is like country as shit. Like, it's Missouri real fast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so there was this bar that would have like these sort of underground country acts come through. And, you know, me and my friends were all really into that, like, not Nashville country music, and that's like sure. the whole spirit of it. Like, this is
pure
real.
Country.
Yeah, pure country. We like Merle and Waylon and, uh-huh. you know. So I met the guy who was opening the place. We became friends. Long story short, he had a loft upstairs with bunk beds. So we're dumb college kids. We'd go out there, get hammered, and then just not drive. We'd just sleep in the bunk beds, yeah. wake up there, and then drive back the next day.
Very responsible.
Very responsible. But man, he was like, this place is haunted. And he would tell us these stories of, you know, like he'd put all the pool balls away, and then he'd go upstairs and they'd be racked again. With two sticks on the table ready to play.
Wow, or one that's time the best haunting I've ever heard of. Just somebody very, like cleaning up the...
yeah, keeping it nice
setting
and clean.
Setting up the game.
And yeah, and then like... But I think he said one time he heard the balls crack upstairs and went upstairs and there was balls on the table.
Okay, so it's a pool ghost.
Pool ghost. But then like the one that I saw that was really crazy was my buddy's birthday, 21st birthday. We had it out there, so we went out there. We're staying here. We're getting hammered.
Yeah,
it's his 21st birthday, so we get after it, and he had like boots on, jeans. He passed out in one of the bunk beds, fully clothed.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have had boots, long socks, jeans down to his boots, and mm-hmm. he's just asleep like this. So next morning, we're sitting at the bar having a nice little hair of the dog morning brew.
Sure.
And my buddy just keeps like reaching down and scratching his ankle, and he's like, what the hell? And he finally pulls his jeans up, pulls his socks down, and he sees like five or six little cuts. It looks like little cuts with like a box knife.
Ooh.
Like a box knife, almost like ticking little lines down his ankle. And he's like, what the hell is this? So he showed me, and then this other guy that had crashed at the bar comes walking down. So he didn't hear any of this. He didn't hear my friend show me this and go, what the hell is this? So Steve, the bar owner, starts talking about how haunted the bar is. And he's talking about all the times he's like, the ice machine, all of a sudden ice was like spilled everywhere. And he's like, what the, you know, whatever. All these, he's telling these stories. So the guy that came down, all hung over and stuff, he's like, man, last time I was here, I passed out on these stairs, man. I woke up and I had these crazy little like scratches on my ankle. And my buddy's eyes got huge, and he turned, and he goes, did they look like this? And he showed the guy, and when the guy saw his ankle, he, like, turned ghost white, and he was like, exactly like that. And so that was one, too, where we were like, okay, I think it's time to leave. I think we got to go.
I think we need a new bar to hang out at.
I think we need a new bar. We don't need to be in this haunted cowboy bar anymore.
Yeah, we need to find a new bunk bed bar.
They can tell that we're city folk and they don't like it.
Fuck.
That was, so that, yeah. Scary. So those are kind of my three, those moments where you're like,
maybe, interesting.
And then, you know, you add to it, like, I have friends that have done, like, I smoked DMT. I smoked it, which is the, kind of the intense.
The God particle?
The God particle, yeah. And it was wild. It was a wild trip, but I didn't, like, I saw beings and stuff, but that's part of the trip. But then my buddy did ayahuasca, which is, like, the same particle, but it's, like, the long version. You know, you go to, he went to Peru and hiked up to this place, and there was a body cleansing first. Like, it's a long
process. You have to puke first, right?
Yeah, they give you, like, it's like water filtered through volcanic rock, and it makes you just, it clears your system. You have diarrhea for, like, 2 days, but...
Sick.
Yeah, pretty cool. And then you're ready, and then you do the trip, and then whatever. But, you know, he according to him, his brother that died when we were in middle school, like, took him through the trip and was like, hey, man, it's I'm here. And he's like, whoa. And I asked him, I was like, what did your brother say to you? And he was like, remember that the veil is very thin and I'm always right here.
And, fuck.
And so, I don't know, man. Like, and then my buddy was just telling me his mom was like really into hippie stuff. Like, she was living on a commune up in Northern California. But she died a couple years ago. And my buddy said right before she died, her and her boyfriend were... What they were really believing at the time is when people die, for 3 days, the soul is right next to the body, like, kind of replaying, like, reviewing its life, and then it ascends or whatever. And it's possible that ghosts are unfinished business or don't know they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're still, you know, figuring out, what the hell's going on? Like, what? Why can't I get in my own house?
Yeah.
And that's like, what you're hearing or whatever.
Like in Beetlejuice.
Like in Beetlejuice. Yeah, Beetlejuice is...
It's true. It's actually a documentary. I was going to say that. Well, I think that's a good place to end. I think it's important for us to remember the veil is very thin.
Yeah.
And I'm always right here.
And I'm always Kenny. Right here. High fives.
Thanks, Kenny.
Yeah, thanks for coming to my house and doing this. This is fun.
Ghosts to Show You is created and written by Emily Panic and Lillian Devane. The podcast is edited by Emily Panic. Our original theme song is by LP, and our artwork is by Paco Park. If you like the podcast, please rate and subscribe, and if you don't, then don't. Follow us on Instagram @ghosts to show you. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.